Hi, my name is Steven.
Hi, I'm April.
This is the 3Pi² ABA Business Leaders Podcast, where we discuss topics on how to create and grow an ethical and sustainable ABA practice.
Together, Steven and I owned a 7-figure ABA practice that provided both clinic and in-home services.
3Pi² has helped over 900 ABA practices start up and expand with our comprehensive products and services geared specifically to ABA. Now, let's get to the podcast.
Welcome to ABA Business Leaders Podcast. I'm April.
I'm Steven.
So today we're going to be talking about three things we thought would be easier having an ABA business. There's probably more than three things, but I narrowed it down to three. So the first thing is building and leading a strong team. I don't think that I necessarily thought, oh, I've got that. I could build and lead a strong team. Check. I've got all the things. I didn't even realize, like, it wasn't on my list of things to do.
Right.
Like, it didn't even occur to me
right.
In the planning that I would be in that position. Right. You know, we've talked before about like mission and values and all of that stuff, right? And we're not going to get into that major today, but like I didn't do that. We didn't do that when we started.
No.
Like purpose, we're providing ABA services,
yes.
Right? And there wasn't like a question in my mind that I wasn't going to provide quality services.
Right.
That like was I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to get out there and do good enough, or yeah. I'm going to just get by, or yeah. Like it wasn't even like a thing that I felt like I needed to.
Yeah, it was obvious.
State.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Like yeah. We're going to start it. We're going to help more kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like the end. Right.
Yeah.
We're going to help more families.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess I just assumed that our passion and our drive and my knowledge and joy and love of working with kids and families and like your ability to, it's not that you had ever started a business before at that point. It's not like you were like, oh, I know how to run a business, but like you worked in businesses before and you had like, you had
startups,
right? Mm-hmm. And you had like knowledge of like, you know, some of this, like the processes and the general idea, and you had ability to research, like your curious. So you had ability to research like what was needed and stuff, right? I was doing the direct services
mm-hmm.
and like we just, I knew how to do direct services and
mm-hmm.
you were like, okay, well, we got to bill these people. This is before insurance. We did the thing. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. And then I was like, okay, well, maybe we should hire somebody. And then it was, okay, well, maybe we hire a couple people.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, it was like a very random.
We just wing it.
We were just winging it.
Of course, you do it this way. Yeah. What else? What else are you supposed to do?
And then before I know it, like I like have a team of people mm-hmm. working with us. And did I ever once in that beginning consider myself a leader?
Mm-hmm.
No, like I don't like it. Just I wasn't that intentional about any of it, right?
Right.
Like we're okay. Well, I'm gonna hire some people and I'm gonna train them how to do what I do, or maybe they already know how to do it. We'll figure this out and we'll provide services. Of course, like that was my focus, was providing the services, and I had no question in my mind that there were going to be quality services.
Of course.
What I wasn't expecting really wasn't on my radar was, like the people that I work with, like we don't all like just share the common work ethic and values and emotional investment in this. Like for me, it was my company, our company, it was our thing.
Mm-hmm.
For our staff, it was their job.
Mm-hmm.
No, not saying like we had some amazing staff who are very passionate and poured so much into working with us, but like there's a difference,
mm-hmm.
right? And I never even, that never occurred to me. Like it wasn't even a thing. It wasn't even that I thought it would be easier. It wasn't even on my radar that I was going to be a leader of staff and that it was going to be my job to form the workplace culture. And so we just kind of, as things came up, we handled it and we learned each situation came up. We figured it out and we learned how to do it. And either we did it pretty well, and so then we continued to grow on that, or we realized that that wasn't really the right way to handle that. How can we handle that differently next time? Mm-hmm. So, you know, leading a team meant managing people and not just like behavior plans, right? And, training for the programs to run the programs of how to collect the data, how to interact with the parents, but like it was outside of that as well. And then I quickly realized how important it was to communicate the expectations. I think I assumed a lot in the beginning. I assumed a lot, and I paid for that, right? Like I found out pretty quickly that like I'm going to have to be more clear and direct. I think that over the years it grew over like a decade, right? But I started to, you know, figure out what worked best, you know, like how to communicate. But I think the biggest thing though is that I didn't even go into it thinking things would be easier. That whole management piece, especially, I didn't even know it existed.
Yeah. I think that we talk to a lot of people that say, I don't know what I don't know. And I think that if you have just been a BCBA your entire career, you're going to be saying that quite often. I don't know what I don't know.
Well, and so I didn't, you know, when I came into it, because this was before the mandates, right? And this was the BACB, like it wasn't commonplace yet, right? You could be a behavior specialist, right? You could have training from certain consultants and things like that to be able to do the work. And so I had worked in teams before. I had worked with other people on like behavioral teams before, but, and I had done like the management for a child's programs and stuff like that and put that together. But I had never like been the supervisor in a case. And like, that was years ago. And I feel like some BCBAs come into being a business owner and they have some experience of being a supervisor of techs, you know? And then I think that there are some BCBAs who are like me, who come into this and they don't even have experience yet of supervising techs even.
Sure.
Right. It's like a variety. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, you know, there's a difference when you know that, hey, if I have an issue with this parent or I have an issue with this employee, or I can go to my director or I can go to the owner and say, I got a problem.
Right. But if you're the owner,
but if you're the owner, that's it. It's over, right? Like, you are that person. So that's just a different feeling. It just is. And so going into this, it's really, you know, people say all the time, it feels lonely. If even to people that you're working with, they just don't understand it. Even my, like, I'm generalizing here, but even my husband doesn't know quite how it feels to have all of this weight and responsibility on me. So like, yeah, I think it's
someone
just
comes to you with a question, right? And you're like, who's answering that? And then you realize, I'm the adult. I'm the one that has to make this decision. I don't know. And I remember one of my BCBAs came, one of my first BCBAs came to me, and she had like an important question. She asked, she said, so what do we do for this? And I was like, I don't know. What do you think we should do? Yeah. Like, I was like, you know, so there were a lot of those moments in the beginning as we were figuring it all out.
I mean, we really grew quickly once the insurance mandates came in, right? So before then, you had a couple of years.
Yeah, we had contracts with school districts and things like that and private pay. Yeah. So we did get to kind of like, I guess, dip our toes in a little before we were hit by like all of the big things that you guys are dealing with today. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next thing that I thought would be easier... There again, I don't know that I even put a thought into the fact that it would be easier, even though it was a thing. But when I look back on it, I can kind of have that perspective, is setting boundaries and protecting my time. Because when I was in that first, you know, whatever, year two or three, it was really once I had a decent sized team, right? We had multiple BCBAs. We had a lead BCBA, we had an in-house biller, we had, you know, admin, we had, you know, you were doing director of operations and all the things, and I was like clinical director and all the things. And I think it was at that point, and it was like all of a sudden I was sitting in an office in a clinic that we were in charge of, and but this company that we owned, and all of a sudden, like, insurance had kicked in, right? Like we had contracts with insurance companies, and then it was, wow, okay, this is where we're at, right? And we had started our family, so we had a toddler, and it was okay. How did I get here? Who am I? Where am I? But I was really feeling overwhelmed and stressed out. When I go back to try to relive that, I don't even remember how I felt. And so, like, I don't even, like, I also didn't have the same emotional regulation skills that I have now too, to even, like, I just kind of like went numb and pushed through, right? Yeah. So I can't even remember exactly what it feels like. So I was trying to kind of take myself back there to remember how, but I do remember like one day it was almost like I woke up and was like, where am I? What am I doing? We have a clinic. This is my office. I'm the owner person. Like, this is mine, like owner person. Yeah. Anyways. But what we, especially those first little bit, we had contracts with school districts, and we were working with, you know, kids who are at risk from being removed from their families. And we had some pretty severe, you know, behavior cases, and we had court order cases, and there was a little element of being on call that we had during those cases. And we just, it was like, there was no, in my mind, there was no option to, like, we just had to go, do, right? Yeah. And then I think once I was at that point where we had, like, all the people and the staff, and we were in network with insurances, and we were learning all of that, but we had the dedicated people doing the dedicated tasks that, I recognized that I didn't want to be like an on-call person 24/7. And so I set my first boundary, and I didn't clearly communicate it. I wasn't super intentional in it. It was for sure a reaction.
Yeah.
But I decided when one of my BCBAs texted me, I don't even know what time it was. I don't know if it was 5 o'clock or 8 o'clock PM. I don't know, but I was at home. I think I was cooking supper, feeding my child, something like that. And I got a message, and I just didn't respond. And then the next day it was like an afterthought of, oh, okay. Yeah. I'm no longer, well, that BCBA came to me, and she was like, wow, you're really preaching what you tell us. Cause I had also been telling the BCBAs, like, you don't have to take phone calls from parents past a certain time. Like, we are no longer, cause we were shifting to like early intervention in home, like private insurance, and no longer with the district contract that we had, where we had to be more on call. So I was helping to shift my staff to like my BCBAs of like, no, it's okay. You don't have to answer these phone calls. You don't have to, you know, like trying to reset their boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I was more intentional in that, but myself was not a bit on the radar. Anyways. Yeah. And so she came to me the next day and she was like, wow, I see what you did there. You're showing us how to set boundaries. Like you're modeling for us. And I was like, oh yeah. Yeah. That's what I was doing, you know? But it was a pivotal moment within my journey of then realizing, okay, what are my boundaries and setting them? And, you know, of course, knowing where the flexibility can be. Mm-hmm. But also being able to communicate that clearly to my staff, communicate that clearly, understand for myself, right, of why I did those things. And I think that was probably the beginning of like coming up with values, even though I didn't know what values, like I didn't have that concept and I wasn't necessarily calling it values, but really what I want this company to look like, how we want people to treat each other, how we want, you know, things moving forward. Mm-hmm. And that's when we started looking at too, at like, okay, we need to focus on providing quality services because mm-hmm. then you have different people from different walks of life and different training backgrounds and different expectations all gathering to start working together as a team. And so that was just kind of that next step.
Boundaries for me were setting boundaries with myself. I wish I could have put in place. Mm-hmm. And boundaries about us.
Yeah.
Because I know there are a lot of ABA business
partners
yeah. where the BCBA is doing what you did and then the husband, and again, I'm generalizing here, so maybe I didn't get this 100% correct, but I got it 80% correct. Where the spouse is then taking on the admin and payroll and insurance and that kind of stuff, hiring and things like that. And so I think having really good boundaries on, okay, we can talk about work during this time and shutting that down, I think would have been helpful for both of us. Like for me, certainly, but I think for our relationship, I think for most of the time we owned, even now, we still will just talk shop like all the time. So maybe we should set those boundaries even for our own company right now. Like when it's like, okay, we're done talking about work now. It's not like it's as crazy or critical as it was then, but like I would wake up in the middle of the night and just be having a panic attack about insurance and did you get that check from Aetna? Right? Like I'd wake you up and you would join join me in the party. So I think that having boundaries, I think a lot, like especially when we started with insurance, we were still working out of our home. So that makes it way more difficult to have like, okay, now we're going to shut it off because, you know, like the computer's in the frickin' downstairs office. I can just go down there and turn it on and do some work. So I think having an office where, you know, we could shut things off, leave our computers at the office, I think that can certainly help with setting some boundaries. But I think that if you are starting or you are in the middle of it, I think just that would be very healthy to come up with some boundaries with your partner on, okay, when can we talk about these things and how do we address these situations where maybe you're more worried about something than I am and how do you get what you need and when can we shut off business partners and turn on spouse, you know, married couple thing. I just that is really hard to navigate, and marriage in itself with a kid and all the responsibilities and financial blah blah blah, that's hard enough in itself, obviously, because I think the divorce rate's like, I don't know what, 50%. So but when you add on that extra layer of like this is all the money we have, right? And now you're not just responsible for you and your family, but you know, you have 20, 30 employees. You now have at least some responsibility for their families as well, right? And not to mention all the clients you work with. So there's just a lot of responsibility on top of what a regular marriage goes through. April and I are so honored to have Margin Keeper sponsor this podcast.
Running an ABA business comes with its share of challenges. Managing clients, staff, insurance, the list goes on.
One thing you shouldn't add to your stress, bookkeeping. That's where Margin Keepers comes in.
They're specialists in ABA businesses, which means they understand exactly what we need.
With Margin Keepers handling your finances, you can focus on what really matters, your clients, and your practice's growth.
They're more than just bookkeepers. They're lifesavers in the financial world of ABA.
So for peace of mind and expert financial management,
turn to Margin Keepers. It's a decision that will lift the weight off of your shoulders.
Check out Margin Keepers at www.marginkeepers.com and see how they can help your business thrive. So having some really good boundaries on when we can talk about work, when we have to shut it off, I think could be helpful. And it's something that we just didn't have. I didn't even know that was a thing. Obviously, if I have a panic attack at 3 a.m. about Optum on it, then I'm going to be waking you up, right? Like, there's no here. There's that's not even a question, right? It's kind of like you said, I didn't even know that I needed to be a leader. I didn't even know that I couldn't share my panic attacks with you, right? Like, about work.
It's so funny because, like, when I was coming up with this idea and what I thought would be easier, and it's kind of turned into like, well, these are things we didn't even know were a thing until we were in it, right? And there's so many things that fall into that category.
Yeah.
But there is what this next one is, what I thought would be easier, and I did recognize that it was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So creating systems that work, like I am pretty organized and I like categories. And even though I wasn't quite aware yet of like clear all the parts to clear communication when leading a team, I did understand I would need handbooks. Right. I was like, okay, I need handbooks. Mm-hmm. Some kind of guide, right? Because you do that when you go to work for someone, you get a handbook, right?
Yeah, you get the
you get some
handbook,
kind of you know you signed, like you get something right,
and then handbook,
exactly, yeah. It's some kind of rules or some things you have to follow. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, well, I'm based off of what I had in when I worked for other ABA companies. Okay, we need a dress code. We need like confidentiality. We need like, okay, how are you doing schedules? Like if people call out or ask for time off, what is that? You know, and if the first couple of years, especially when we worked with some families like in home, and especially some of these court ordered cases and things like that, like we came across things such as like weapons in the home and, you know, even pets and, mm-hmm. You know, just how to deal with all of this, right? There again, people would come to my staff would come to me and ask me like, well, what do we do about this? And I'm like, right, like, well, I don't know, I guess, do we need a policy about this? And then but it wasn't something that I ever dreamed of would be as detailed and huge and overarching. And then becoming in network with insurances, even back when they were starting, there were certain, you know, it was still just as hard as like some companies didn't tell you what you needed. And so we didn't even realize we needed some things for some companies. Mm-hmm. And then we started getting a couple insurance companies were like, okay, well, to be in network with us, you need A, B, C, D. You know, here's a list of things. Yes. And then we're
Kaiser
like,
Kaiser and Optum.
Right. And then we were like looking at those lists and we're like, oh, what does this even mean? Yeah. You know, and some of these things we had to do our research and really look, dig in and look into it. And yeah. So we that started the painstaking process of building what started as like probably an 8-page document into like hundreds and hundreds of pages and multi, you know, it's not just one handbook, it's multi mm-hmm. handbooks. And yes. So
it's like your wonderful husband came in.
That is 100% where you were learning the ropes of insurance and, you know, because I probably would have given out services for everybody for free.
Not probably.
And then we still needed, as we were had growing staff, we're like, can we have to pay these people? we need to also find some money for ourselves within this to pay our mortgage and our food, right? Like, I think we need childcare of some sort. Like, it's not going to really work out having our baby at work as we thought that we could do, you know, like, right? But yeah, so Stephen said, okay, well, what is that? The aerospace like accreditation? What is it? The medical aerospace accreditation?
Oh, well, there's yeah, so it's ISO.
ISO,
and you have NADCAT.
Yeah. So he had like so much experience with this stuff. And so for him, he's like, oh, well, let's just make a quality management system. And so that's what we started doing. And I was like, oh, it was kind of like a task analysis for stuff, right? Like, okay, we have our behavior programs and we have our how to do things programs. And really, if I remember correctly, we just started adding things as issues came up. Oh, this issue came up. Well, we need something for it. We need to put in. Now, that being said, like there was also like the list from insurance as we were learning then we started looking into what those things meant and we started doing, you know, research and that's really when the meat of it really started mm-hmm. to take hold, right? You're really working through those parts and it became known to us that, hey, this is going to be a thing. This is going to be a big part of us running our company. We need all of the operations and we need the systems and we need the procedures and we need them spelled out. We can't just have them in our brain. We can't just communicate them to our staff. We need to have them in writing mm-hmm. and we need to train on them and we need to have them available. And then Stephen, one day I walked mm-hmm. in, cause this is actually when we were still working out of our home.
Yeah.
And we didn't see kids in our home, but our staff would come in for like meetings or for prep time and things like that. And Stephen's like printing off all of these. Remember that you're printing off all the like posters, right? Mm-hmm. Workplace posters. And you're like, we have to put these up somewhere where staff can see. And I'm like, in our house?
Yeah.
And you're like, mm-hmm. And so we had to post those posters mm-hmm. For staff to see. And, you know, it was just like one thing. Like it just, that's like really where it started to feel like, oh, wow, like we have to make a real company here.
I think that like you have to look at risk and your job, just like I say when my job as a director of operations was to remove barriers. Leadership, they have to reduce risk as much as they humanly possibly can, right? Our job is also to mitigate as much risk. And so my previous work experience was like doing processes, simplifying them, making them repeatable. And the idea that was taught to me was there are two major things. You should be able to take somebody off the street and they should be able to do this based on the procedure that you've created. And if you get hit by a bus, are we going to be able to do this thing? So those are really important things. Like just imagining your company right now, you get hit by a bus. Who's going to pay your staff? Does anybody else know what system you use or what your passwords are? Right? Like these are things that if you get incapacitated and you are unable to do your job, who's going to take care of these things? Because if you don't take care of these things, you can't pay your staff, you can't bill insurance, then your kids are not going to get services. So all of these things have to be looked at. And so my thing is failure mode. Failure mode effects analysis, FMEA. You just kind of, okay, this is what we're doing. Let's list out all of the ways that this could go terribly wrong. And then we rank order them, right, based on likelihood and impact. And then you start making processes and procedures. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of my thing. As boring as you may all be falling asleep at this moment, this is what I do. This is what I enjoy doing this. My brain, right? Like, it goes to what are the most terrible, tragic things that could possibly happen in this situation? Well, what can we put in place to at least try to reduce or mitigate these things as much as you possibly can? And then we move forward. The most important policy in my opinion, I mean, there's lots of important, but like the one that you want to really have a good understanding about, because you're going to run into this more often than any other thing, in my opinion, is what do we do when we don't have a policy, right? Like, what do we do in that situation? How do we make sure that, okay, this crazy situation has happened. Who do I need to reach out to? Is this a billing issue? Is this an accounting issue? Is this a operations issue? Is this a clinical issue? Is this an ethics issue? How do I know what issue this is? And then who are my go-to people to help me figure out how we're going to navigate this? How do you then implement this plan? How do you distribute it to all of your staff so that they all get trained on it, or all of your clients get the right information? You know, like, this is something that you really want to have a good understanding of, because it, that, like, yeah, you're going to have a lot of one-off policies. Like, I didn't think that was going to happen. Right. Like, so having a really good system in place to, work with that, I think would be very helpful. So, I mean, this is, you know, our handbooks are one of the most popular things that we have. I've seen people on Facebook, and you know, you do you, like, try ChatGPT, see how it works, right? But like, I know I can't, like, I can put a prescription into GPT and say, hey, does this have any side effects? And it says, no, it's got no side effects. And then you go on Google, and obviously there are side effects, right? Like, it is very confident at telling you the exact opposite thing to do. And I had a customer just recently come out and say, yeah, I tried this in ChatGPT, but I wanted to see your stuff. Just, yeah, I don't know. I think I can do this myself. And then we went through the laundry list of policies and procedures, and he started looking at them, and he was like, oh, F. Okay, forget it. Like, I'm not doing this. And because it is overwhelming. There's a reason why people buy our handbooks. It's not because they're just getting them to get them, right? It's because, like even not insurance as far as who you're billing, but like insurance for your professional liability, your workers' comp, your general liability, they also have requirements of you. And if you think that your professional liability is going to cover you, if you're not following like state and federal law, do you think they're going to cover you? Good luck, right? Like, you know, if you're doing something with workers' comp and you're providing an unsafe work environment because you're not following guidelines like OSHA or they, you know, a lot of insurances have parallel policies that look a lot like OSHA, but because you don't have as many employees, they put them in their contracts, so you have to follow them. So if you're not meeting those standards and you're just going like we did for many years, like you're just, there's a lot of risk out there, right? And so that's why I coin our handbooks as the largest ABA business collaboration in the country, right? Like, we work with over 1,000 ABA practices that use our handbooks, and we are constantly getting feedback from our customers, say, hey, you should add this, hey, you should change this. We're working with all of the funders, making sure that we have their latest requirements in. We're working with accreditations like ACQ and BHCOE to make sure that we're meeting their standards. So it's just a lot to deal with, and you have a limited amount of time. And I don't know. This turned into a sales pitch.
How we can help you guys. And that's part of what we're here for. And so we just like to communicate to you what we do that can help you, so that as a collaborative, as all together, we can help move the field forward and provide quality ABA services. And that's really like the main focus.
Right. Another example, we had another customer that like reached out and said, well, what, like, they got our handbooks and they're like, well, what policies are really important? Tell me the really important ones. So I'll make those, but there's just too many. I just want the really important ones. And it's like, are you accepting Medicaid or are you accepting commercial insurance? Yes. Okay. Then they all are, right? Like, you have to follow Fed regulations. You have to follow state privacy law, right? Like, you just have to. You are a healthcare company. You need a quality management system, whether you want it or not. My hope for you would be that you want it, right? This is going, the idea behind a quality management system and all of these policies and procedures is to standardize things that can be standardized and allow for flexibility where their flexibility needs to be, right? But a lot of these systems can be put in place so that you are reducing the risk that is involved. And this is a very risky business, right? Especially working in home, you know, with those people that, you know, like, I mean, just some crazy examples is like not having a lock on the bathroom, right? Like, what in the world? Or working with super friendly dogs, but they jump up and they nip and, you know, they scratch your staff, right? Like, these are just things that you have to deal with on a regular basis. And even things like, you know, again, a lot of people miss this, but you're, I assume, expecting your staff to clean the toys that they work with, right? From client to client. And this is chemicals that they're working with. And what if they get them on their skin the wrong way, or they get them in their eyes? How do they safely remove this from their person? Like, these are things that you are required to have in place. So it's just, there's a lot, right? And so that's where I think that we come in, is to hopefully simplify some of this and give you those templates so that you don't have to, again, I don't know what I don't know, right? And so if you don't know 50% of the policies that you need, then that's a lot of risk that you don't even know is like right in front of your face. Do you know what I mean? So this is where we can help you with that visibility. That's it. That's all I got. There's a lot, but it doesn't have to be super overwhelming. It can just be mildly overwhelming. So anyway, yeah, we're here.
We can help.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening, for taking your time out of your busy schedule and listening to what we have to say. And it's nice to know that you guys are out here. Mm-hmm. And if for that business leader who may be feeling overwhelmed today, just know that you're not alone. Yeah. We're here, but also there is an enormous community of amazing ABA business leaders who are great at collaborating and uplifting each other and supporting each other. So, come join us on ABA Business Leaders on Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn.
Yeah, we had a customer that wanted some help with Medicaid in Florida, and I reached out to some of our Florida customers yesterday. I'm shouting out our Florida customers.
Yeah, thank you, Florida.
Because we, like, within 10 minutes, I had almost 20 companies say, of course I'll help. All right. So, yeah, that's awesome. That's my favorite part of what we do. So thank you for being a part of our membership or customers or fan base, whatever the frig you want to call it. I would appreciate you liking the rating this and reviewing it. That's super helpful. But until next week, I guess we're done.
See you next time.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Hopefully it was helpful. If you would like to gain access to this entire video and actually our entire library of videos, please join our ABA Business Leaders membership. You can find that at www.3pisquare.com.